Another Sunday morning. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your wife.
Thank you, Steve.
I saw Sally doing the walk. She puts in some miles there. No, walking, but not running like you.
She's a walker. I'm a runner.
Well, wish her all the best
and,
there.
And, you know, I've said this before. The research shows that somebody that gets out and takes a vigorous walk, the benefits from that compared to running, there's only about a 10% difference in the benefit. I'm glad that people get out and walk.
Well, you hinted about this, and boy, so many people did not want this to happen. The Bear Shadow Music Festival will be moved to another venue from Horse Cove.
That's correct. Best of luck to the folks that are organizing that. I know there's been a lot of discussion and controversy, but I'm sure that will be a very fine event for the folks that will be in attendance.
Your mayor on duty, you know, said be careful, keep eyes on the future, and controlled growth, and you want to set up something like a business committee.
I've been talking with Kay McCann, the director of the Chamber of Commerce. One of the things I want to emphasize, the Chamber was not the organizer of the Bear Shadow concert that we just discussed, but they do organize events for the community and for our visitors, such as the summer concerts that we'll be having in the park. And we both felt like it's time to sit down with our business committee of our commissioners because we have similar interest and similar things that are going on right now. We're doing the Highlands Community Plan for the town. The Chamber of Commerce has also hired a consulting company to help them focus on what are the best practices for marketing and developing the business community in Highlands. And that does not translate into just more and more and more tourists. It's a focused strategy about what's the best plan for this community. And I think it's time for us to just sit down together and have a conversation and share ideas and share plans and come together in making sure that we are planning and strategizing for the best outcomes for the future of Highlands.
Yeah, check out that mayor on duty if you have that paper still hanging around there. Well, this is by the time we air this, I've already had my first vaccine shot in the super vaccine clinic at the rec center on Saturday. And there's so much more to be done.
Sally and I are volunteers with that program. It's a wonderful program that Tom Neal and all the nonprofits have organized here in Highlands and in Cashers and Jackson County and Macon County. The public health departments have been involved. And I just wanted to pass along something that's very important. We will be opening up the vaccine process. For example, Governor Cooper this week announced that on February the 24th, teachers, educators, and critical first line people will be eligible for vaccination. And that's really good news. We anticipate more and more groups of people becoming eligible for the vaccine in a few months. That means that people that would be in their 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s eventually will be able to get the vaccine. And there's a critical first step. And I know that Kathy Magala of the Macon County Public Health has put out the word, do not wait to get registered for the vaccine just before you want an appointment. You can now get registered in the North Carolina CVMS system. And here's what that means. The anachronism is the North Carolina COVID Vaccine Management System. In order to get an appointment at a local clinic, you have to first be registered in that system. And Kathy is urging everyone, go ahead and get registered now. So when you call up to get your appointment, then they can pull up and say, yes, you're in the system and here's the appointment time. We encourage people to do that. Here are the ways you can register. One is you can go to the Highlands Cashers Plateau Vaccination Initiative website. It can be Googled. They provide all the information, the link to where you can actually go through the process of signing up. Or you can call the Public Health Department at 828-524-1500. Let me say that again, 828-524-1500. Or locally, you can call 828-526-1310. I'll say that again, 828-526-1310. 1310, and they can provide assistance for you on going through that process.
Yeah, don't wait until they say, okay, now time for 30-year-olds, and then you sign up. If you sign up now, then you're all set to go.
There are some people that have trouble being able to sign up for the CVMS, but it certainly will be better to do this in advance instead of just having a flood of people calling in wanting this done right before the vaccine is opened up to certain classes of folks.
Just a few days away from our town board meeting on the 18th. And when will you all be able to meet in person?
Well, that's on the agenda. We will have a discussion of when will be the appropriate time to go back to in-person meetings. I anticipate that being relatively soon. The other issue that I'd like the board to review would be our town retreat. I would hope that we can do that in person. We usually do that at Coleman Hall at the Presbyterian Church. I don't know whether we'll be able to do that in person this year, but it's an all-day process of looking at budget priorities, and I would hope that we'll be able to do that.
I bet you everybody's at the bit there trying to get their festivals and their runs all set, and so we've got some presentations.
That's right. One of our issues, of course, is what events can we have under what circumstances? I know the Highlands Motoring Festival, they'll be coming to the town board to give us an update and make a request. Derek Taylor, who's the director of the Twilight 5K race, he postponed that last year, which translated in losing some money for nonprofits here in Highlands. Derek has a plan to have a modified kind of makeup race sometimes at the 1st of May with you running the 5K course, and it would not be like the regular August Highlands Twilight 5K race where we have a concert and after the race we have big award ceremony, and yes, we eat some watermelon and drink a little beer and have a good time. This race would not be like that, but he'd like to review the possibilities with the board.
So what is DOT planning on? I know March about the paving, and what's the schedule?
Steve, that will be on our agenda. We will provide an update on what the plans are for DOT. Lamar Nix, our town engineer and public works director, our town manager, and myself, we've been meeting with a group of engineers now from DOT in conversations with them about their plans for paving the downtown business area. We met this past week. The DOT has a new schedule and a new plan, which is going to hopefully expedite the time they'll be in the downtown area. The rain could throw the schedule off. So we'll be learning about the schedule, and we'll all be keeping our fingers crossed that during those times where they're going to be paving, there will be no rain delays, and they can be in there very quickly and then out. I'll just say this. At one time, we were talking about, well, hopefully this whole thing will be done by Memorial Day. If they can meet the schedule that they're proposing or even come close, they will be out of here weeks before Memorial Day, and we'll be pretty much back to kind of a normal operation as we go to the end of April and into May. They will be starting that project, we've been told, March the 15th. That is their start date. Now, some people want me to tell right now or at the meeting what is their schedule. This is not our project. This is a state road. They are in charge, and at the last meeting, they said their public relations people are working on a news release as soon as possible. Hopefully next week, it will be out with definitive dates and times when they'll be working. But I'm going to let the DOT people communicate to the public their work schedule. The other thing that they will be doing is restriping the road, of course, after it's paved, and remarking all the parking spaces. They'll address the handicap issues and all the issues of parking. And they said that they will go by current parking standards according to the Department of Transportation Design Manual. And in fact, they're already working on a layout of the new parking space. You know, I emphasize to them, that's a real critical thing. Yes, get the paving done, but also reestablish the parking spaces without delay.
Now, last Tuesday, the DOT closed 64, and they came in to get out that tree, and everything just went perfectly.
Well, it went well. But, you know, always when you do a project like that, there are surprises. What they were doing, they were trying to get rid of the tree that had fallen, the big root ball and stump. It was on Chowan Road next to the embankment. And it had fallen into 64. They'd been able to clear the main part of the tree quickly on 64, but there was that big, long trunk with a big root ball that you could see from 64 and from Chowan Road. So the DOT had to close the road. They came up with all of their equipment, including an excavator. And what they discovered was that the root ball of that huge white pine had grown around a huge boulder. So when it fell, it not only dislodged the tree, but that boulder was dislodged. So it took them a while. They had to cut the roots away from the boulder, remove the root ball, which meant that that boulder was in precarious, unstable position. And their excavator operator had to do the best he could to remove that. And he did, except it did kind of break loose and come tumbling down the road. Thank goodness it didn't damage the excavator or the operator. You just never know when you're doing that kind of work what kind of surprises you'll find. But the boulder was removed and the tree was removed. And what is now happening is the company that will be putting in the soil nails to stabilize Chowan Road, they're on site and they're doing their work.
Something very near and dear to your heart for so many years, Big Brothers and Big Sisters. You're part of the Big Brother system, and you've made a video. You're now on television.
I've been in Big Brothers and Big Sisters for over a decade. I've mentored several young people as a Big Brother. And normally they have this event where they go to bowling alleys and raise money for the organization from having a bowling night across Western Carolina. This year, that was not possible. So they created do-it-yourself bowling, a virtual bowling event. People could donate. I made a donation to have a team of bowlers. And my team was the administrative staff of the town of Highlands. And I actually built a little miniature bowling alley of about 8 feet in length. I placed it on my desk at town hall, and we did a video, and the staff would come in, and I made the bowling pins out of PVC pipe and just a little ball that I bought at Reeves Hardware, and we had a great time. We had our town manager. He was on the team, and he knocked down 8 pins. And then our finance director, Rebecca Schuler, she was on the team. She knocked down 8 pins. Then we had Gibby Shaheen, our town clerk. She was on the team, and she knocked down 8 pins. And then Emily Nickerson, who is our personnel director, she bowled. She also knocked down 8 pins. And then the mayor had to bowl.
Here we go.
I knocked down 9 pins and won. But it was a lot of fun, and they really enjoyed it. They will receive an appreciation gift of a Big Brother T-shirt, and it goes to a great cause. So I hope people will, in the future, support these types of programs that are so important to the young people of our community.